Good evening, church. Let's go. Can we pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in your presence. We thank you for such an awesome time of worship. We just thank you that you moved in those moments, Father. And we know that what a great start to our week where we get to put you first. And I pray for all our hearts that it'll just be open to your word and to your truth and to the authority that comes with it. And I pray that if we're struggling with anything, that we will just lay it at your feet, Lord, that we won't carry that weight by ourselves, but we will give it to you and trust that you will walk with us on this journey because you're a good God and we're so grateful that we get to do this. So we commit this in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Cool. Give someone a high five as you take your seats. And as you take your seats, I want to invite Brad and Claire up quickly. Brad Sinclair, how's it going? So a lot of you guys would have heard me say often that I've been at this church for 22 years, and Brad was my first ever kids church leader. How cool is that? And I was always taller than Brad. So,
you know, there was at actually the 10, a point. I actually remember a point where kids church leaders started running away from him.
It was, yeah.
He started jumping on there.
But it's so good to have Brad with us. Brad has been with us the whole day, and his wife Andrea and Jonty and Quinn, and they really are an incredible couple who are doing incredible work up in our Zambia project. And I know Brad and Andrea are leading, guys, exceptional teams. The work that they're doing is amazing. They're part of a Bible project that's translating the Bible into the languages of the local people. They are part of leading over 220 churches. Come on, that's amazing, right? And they also lead the team that plants churches in the Western Province of Zambia. So they are doing incredible work in God's kingdom. Can we honor them quickly? Is that okay? Come on. Let's show them some love. So good. So Brad, we got a lot of people here tonight who want to hear a highlight that you guys have experienced this past year and something which we can partner with you in prayer that we can discover you guys as you go back home.
Thanks, Matt. It's so great to be here at VUE. Hello, VUE. I love the evenings at VUE Church. It always just feels like, yes, I used to be the one jumping in the front here. And it's really good to be here. Yeah, Zambia is really, there's so many good highlights and so much going on there. And it all came out from someone standing in the church here, in VUE Church, saying, yes, God, that's what something needs to happen there. It's not okay that we got a million people in Western Zambia that are unreached. And that was Paul at that stage, and Graham sent him, and Andre Leanne has carried it forward, and so many others have put up their hands. And I think for us, always the highlight is when somebody puts up their hand. And, you know, last year, we've seen so much growth and new churches in these completely unreached areas. But the highlight for us was a community that got together and said, yes, we now have a church. We have a life-giving church, and we have got community, and things are going well. But that community, a day's walk down, doesn't have. And they don't have, their kids aren't hearing Bible stories. They aren't going on the stand camp. They aren't going, come on, stand camp. Come on, guys. Yeah. They're not having to experience God and know the truth. And we need to do something about that. And they put up their hand. They sent someone from their community. This is a local village church in a remote area saying, we will take responsibility. We've got something we can do about this. And they sent a local missionary out to a whole new area. And that new area, we're seeing such incredible work of God, where normally it would take us quite a while to get going and plant churches. They're already seeing 8-9 churches planted in that new area. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so I think, you know, going forward, we celebrate 20,000 people. 20,000 people at the moment attending church every Sunday. But the reality is that we need 2,500 churches to make sure that everyone can have a church within walking distance. And that's a big way still. But over the next 4 years, we are hoping to double what we're doing now, and maybe the 4 years after that, we double it again. But to do that, our back end, meaning our logistics, our guys doing mechanics, our vehicles, our people putting up their hands, really that's what it is. It's just people putting up their hands saying, hey, I can get involved. Maybe some admin. I can get involved. Maybe I can give. I can get involved. Maybe I can pray. Maybe I can make paper airplanes. I have no clue how that will help you. But you know what? I think it's a lie when you feel that there's nothing you can give to the call, to the mission of God. Because the Bible says, go out and make disciples in all nations. That's not Andre or Brad and Andrea or this one, go out. That's a call for us all. What are you doing? And I think the thing that I really just push you to today is going, hey, if you can figure out what can you be faithful with, then together we can see in 4 years it doubling, maybe more. We can see Western Zambia reached.
It's good.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing. So you guys got to hear really the mission and the heart that God's put on Brad and Andrea, and he isn't leaving. He is going to be with us after the service. So if you want to find out anything else about what they're doing and you want to ask any questions, you're more than welcome to. But I want to encourage you, we partner in prayer, but we can also partner financially. And even 100 rand a month, which we commit to, will make the biggest difference in the work that they're doing. I promise you, I've been to the Zambia Project on missions trip several times. People's lives genuinely get changed because of the yes that Brad and Andrea said to God's calling. And what a privilege it would be for us to support them as they carry on doing God's work. So one more time, can we just show some love for Brad and Andrea? And then can I pray quickly? Can we pray for Brad and Andrea? Is that it? You can stretch out your arms. Father, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in and through Brad and Andrea and Jonty and Quinn, Lord. And really, what an incredible family. What an incredible example of just an awesome couple saying yes to your calling. And the yes has produced so much fruit, so many lives changed, so many people's eternities changed forever. Heaven's populated because of the work that you're doing in and through them. And just the disciples, they're raising up the locals, which they're empowering to do the work, Lord. And so I thank you. Father, I pray that everything that they've come to Cape Town for, they'll receive in abundance and overflow in Jesus' name, Lord. That the work that they're doing will be supported in every single way possible. It'll just blow their mind exceedingly and abundantly more, Lord, because they are your children who have said yes to the call of going out and making disciples in Western Province of Zambia. So we honor you and we thank you for what you've already done and what you're going to continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Love you, dude.
Brad said that he stopped doing kids' church because he hurt his knee, but apparently it was because all the kids got taller than him and he just felt intimidated. No, I'm joking. It's not true. That's furthering from the truth. Who's excited for Easter? Hey, come on. Don't forget, don't get confused. Easter Friday, we're having services in the building, okay? Don't forget that. Don't wake up on Friday at 12 o'clock and realize you've missed all the services. Join us on Friday. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But we still have 5 more days to do 1-1-1. 1 o'clock for 1 minute, we're going to pray for one person who we're trusting for to invite to church. And I want to encourage you, write their names down, put a reminder on your phone. We believe that God can change their life and he will save them and then they'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. So please, 1-1-1, join us on the journey. We want to see heaven populated on the back end of Easter. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But we're going to jump straight into the scripture and you can follow on the screen with me. And it says, firstly, John 20 verses 30 to 31. And we're obviously going through the book of John. And really, this is what we're believing for as we complete the series. The disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So we believe that we want to have life and life to the full. We want to experience God's blessings. We want to experience God's power, his miraculous hand. And it starts with us believing fully in who Jesus is and who he says he is. And it says in John 6 verses 16 to 21, and this is Jesus working his miraculous power. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake towards Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." They were eager to let him in the boat and immediately they arrived at their destination. It's a short but powerful piece of scripture because it gives us an incredible story of the authority that Jesus carries. But before I go on, I want to ask us a question. Who's ever made a decision that's ended up costing them a lot of time, like wasted time. Yeah? Okay, if you haven't done that, it's either going to happen or you're lying and you actually have made that. But anyway, yesterday, myself and CJ had planned to put up street posters for Easter. So if you drive along Bloberg Road and some of the streets, you're going to see our Easter posters. And we're believing that people are going to see that. They're going to come to church. And they only arrive super late on Friday. So we plan to go Saturday morning to put them up. And I was pumped. I actually really enjoy putting up street posters. It's fun. CJ and I always like crack the weirdest jokes. And it's just a good time. So I was super excited to get out. So I got dressed. And the first thing you always do when putting up street posters is you have to take a pair of scissors. Because if you've ever worked with cable ties, if you mess it up, there's no coming back. No matter how hard you try, you can pull it as hard as you want. You can twist it as hard as you want. You can't fix it in a hurry. So grab my pair of scissors, put them in my pocket, walk outside, close the front door, get to my car. And I realized that I took a pair of scissors, but left all my keys in the flat. And what that meant was, not only did I lock myself out the car, but I locked myself out the flat. And my wife wasn't home. She was with a friend all the way in town, making a doormat, as they do apparently. People will sell any product nowadays, but anyway. And I had to delete the Instagram comment that I made when she posted about it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But so she was away. I mean, I can't walk to town. I would have probably got there and she would have been home already. So I'm a resourceful person, been to Zambia a few times, learned from the best. I walked around the complex looking for a stick. Thankfully, I'm vertically blessed, which means I can get to certain angles that you people aren't vertically blessed can't get to. So I thought that I could stick my arm over the door, because the front door I always leave unlocked. So it was just a treadie door that was closed, and I was going, cool, like I can figure this out. Like I can stick my arm over the stick and pull the keys down and somehow get them. And I literally looked for 20 minutes and I didn't find a stick or anything that would have served the purpose as a stick. So I wasted time. Then I tried to think of other ideas, but in essence, I wasted 40 times before I clicked and said, there's no way I'm getting back into my flat. So I phoned Robin, my wife, and I said, look, I'm going to have to send an Uber to you. And you're going to have to give the Uber my keys. And then the Uber's going to have to drive all the way to Ismead to give me the keys to get into the flat. So all in all, I wasted an hour and a half because I left my keys in the flat. Come on, who would have been frustrated? Anyway, it was made up when CJ and I put up posters and it was all forgotten. But the point I'm trying to make is when we waste time because we're distracted, when we waste time because things are going on in our head that aren't causing us to focus, it's going to hurt us. And I know that was a silly story, but that was an hour and a half of wasted time. When you read that story in John 6, the previous portion of that scripture, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, and I didn't exclude the women and children, and they wanted to come to him. So he got a bit overwhelmed and it was a big crowd. And he said, you know what? I'm going to leave. And he went by himself. And the disciples were at the boat. And that scripture says that the disciples waited for Jesus. But in waiting for Jesus, they wasted time. Because if they had just started their journey when the sun was still up, there would have been no issue whatsoever. In fact, they were at fault for getting into the storm because they wasted time. What does that tell you and I? We have to be careful in what we're allowing in our thoughts and in our decision process, in how we make decisions. Are we wasting time? And in wasting time, causing more issues because we're too scared to take the next step, because we're too scared to step into the boat and go on the journey that God has for us? Or are we going to be people who take action and do exactly what God has called us to do? Because in doing that, we walk in this authority that Jesus gives us. There's no storm that's going to get us because we've done exactly what Jesus has asked us to do. But because the disciples waited, their journey got a whole lot worse. And their journey got a whole lot longer because they were indecisive. They weren't able to make a decision. They weren't able to step out without Jesus. But the best thing you and I can do is to step out and do exactly what Jesus has called us to do. When you study the geographical kind of location of the lake that they were on, the journey wasn't a long journey at all. It was, they say it would have taken a few hours at most. But remember, these are experienced men in the water. They knew exactly, they pretty much grew up on the water. Like they were water babies. Like they knew what to do. But what happens is when the sun goes down on the valley, it creates wind. Come on, Cape Town knows our wind, right? We know that there's certain days where you're like, what is going on? Like that sand hits your face. It's horrible. So what happens is when the sun sets, there's this, I never did geography in school. So if you did geography, you're going to have to help me. You reckon I did? I did do it, but my teacher was the head of boarding house and he was never there. So anyway, don't record that because I don't want them to get back to it. But something happened in the climate and the pressure. Well, what happens when the sun goes down, it creates wind. But it creates a wind that blows onto the lake. So what they were doing is it was meant to be the short journey, but it became so long because they were trying to row into headwind. And because they were rowing into headwind, they were putting all of this effort in, but they weren't going as fast as what they needed to. So it created this tension and it created this frustration because all of a sudden, not only are they rowing into headwind, the wind picks up and the water picks up and now they're in the middle of the storm. Why? Because they delayed themselves in making a decision to do exactly what they knew they needed to do, but they waited on Jesus. But then, thank you, Jesus, he comes into the picture. And this is the powerful statement of the story. Jesus said, don't be afraid, I am here. Other scriptures say, I am here, and the waters calmed down, and the storm relaxed itself. And then the disciples were so eager to get him onto the boat, and then scripture says, they got to their destination pretty much immediately. Why? Because Jesus was involved. Because Jesus was in the picture. Because the authority that Jesus had was at play and it was at work. When Jesus' authority is in our lives, he moves supernaturally. He moves in ways that we can't think or imagine. He does things that we can't ever possibly do because we can never have his authority. It's only his authority in us that can work and do the miraculous. And that's exactly what the disciples saw. It was when he was there and his authority over nature, he was able to calm the storm and they were able to finish their journey. His authority is what we need in our life. We can't do life without the authority that Jesus carries. We have to have his authority. And as I was preparing for this message, obviously John 6, and where we were speaking about Jesus calming the storm and rescuing the disciples, it falls on Palm Sunday. So happy Palm Sunday, everyone. And what is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is the day that as Christians, we reflect and celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And what we're celebrating is the fact that we know as his children that Jesus entered on a donkey as the Prince of Peace to fulfill what Scripture said he would fulfill. That he was going to be the Savior of the world. We know that obviously as Christians and we've seen it happen, but that's why we celebrate it. But the only way Jesus could get on that donkey was because of the authority that was on his life. Jesus had the authority to do what God had asked him to do, to fulfill the scripture that God had asked him to fulfill. So when we go over the seven I am statements in the book of John, and when we celebrate the seven miracles that we saw Jesus performed, those miracles were done in the authority of Jesus. They were done in his name. They were done in his power. So we have to remember it's in his authority that we need to live our life. That's why we celebrate Palm Sunday, because he did exactly what he said he would do. He defeated sin. He defeated evil. He defeated death so that we could live a life in his authority, so that we can live a victorious life. It says in Matthew 21 verse, actually, you know what? I'm not going to read that for the sake of time, but if you want to read Matthew 21 verses 1 to 11, it really gives us the picture of what Palm Sunday is all about. And there were people singing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And what does Hosanna mean? It means to save us. They were declaring that Jesus was the Savior of the world. But the only way Jesus could be the Savior of the world is with the authority that God had put on his life. We can't save ourselves, but by the authority of Jesus, he can save us. We can't save our friends and family, but by the authority that's in Jesus' name, He can save our friends and family by His perfect timing. We can't save South Africa, but by the authority, Jesus can save South Africa by working in us and through us as we carry His authority wherever we go. The authority of Jesus is so key for our life. As we do the things He's called us to do, we need His authority. It says in Romans 8 verse 11, and I didn't give them the scripture, so forgive me, but it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." We have access to the authority of Jesus. We have an opportunity to carry the authority of Jesus wherever we go. And to have it live inside of us too. So we see the disciples, they were delayed in their decision making. And that caused them to go on this crazy journey and caused them some extra work. But when Jesus got involved, we saw things start to happen. Maybe you living in a season where you feel like you struggling to make a decision that's going to honor God. Or maybe you're struggling to just get started on your journey of serving Him and serving people. Or maybe you feel like it's just been this incredibly long journey and you actually don't feel like you've invited Jesus into that journey. I want to encourage you. Invite Him in. Give Him control. Let His authority start to play within your life and to work within your life. Because when His authority is involved, there are things that only He can do that will start to take place in our life. There's no way that man could have stopped that storm, but by the authority of Jesus, that storm was stopped and it was calmed down. There might be things that you know you can't take control over, but by the authority of Jesus, when you give it to Him, you will start to see things change in your life. But what's stopping you from living in this authority that Jesus has given us? Is it distraction? Is it anxiety? Is it the stress of the unknown? Is it bad relationships? Maybe it's addictions. I don't know what's stopping you from allowing His authority to work in your life, but I want to encourage you that darkness cannot hide when Jesus is there. You can only be better for having the authority of Jesus working in and through you as His sons and daughters. So how can we, as Christians, as His children, make sure that every day we are making time to allow His authority inside of our lives and inside of our situations? The first thing that I would encourage us to do is to make sure that you're available. We have to make sure you're available. Now, we've heard the statement before, maybe you haven't, but we say as a church that your availability trumps your ability. So you can have all the talent in the world, but if you aren't available for that talent to be used, it means nothing. It's pretty much going to rot away. But I would kind of say it like this. Are we available for our ability? Sorry, I'm going to wing it. My big fingers make weird words. So we say our availability trumps our ability, right? But if we aren't making ourselves available for God's presence and for authority, our ability means nothing. We can serve, but if we haven't given time to invite God into our life and to invite His authority into our life, what does that really mean? But are we serving and being obedient, knowing that we've given ourselves to receive His authority before we do it? He's leading before we do it. We need to make sure that we're available to have His authority into our lives. Otherwise, it means nothing. We're doing it in vain. We're doing it our own strength. We're not doing it in His strength. But it's making time every day to say, God, I'm inviting You into my life today to lead me and to guide me and to show me Your ways and to do exactly what You've called me to do today. I invite Your authority into my life. And then what you do is blessed in Jesus' name. And then what you do has significance because you're not doing it for you and you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in His authority. So we have to make ourselves available to enter into His presence every single day. Matthew 6 verses 33 to 34. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We got to make ourselves available for his authority to work in our lives. Secondly, we saved by faith to live in obedience. We saved by faith to live in obedience. The most powerful place you and I can ever be in is in a life where we're obedient to what Jesus has asked us to do. Why? Because we're living in his authority. But the minute you and I step out of obedience, we step out of his authority. We understand we're saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. And our faith in him and what he's done for us has caused us to be saved. But we've got to make sure that our faith and our love in him is causing us to be obedient to what he's asked us to do. Because our obedience allows us to walk in his authority. Our obedience allows us to walk and make sure that we're doing exactly what Jesus has asked us to do. So I want to ask us today, are we being obedient? Are we doing what Jesus has asked us to do? Are we being faithful servants to God and to people? Because if we're not, the reality is we might not be living in the authority that we could be living in. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to live in an authority that comes from him, to see the supernatural happen, to see him work where we can't work, to see him do what we can't do, because we're living in authority. The best life. The best life is the life of authority in Jesus, because we're obedient to him. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2 says, all these many people who have had faith in God are around us like a cloud. Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. Let us keep running in the race that God has planned for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. Our faith comes from him, and he is the one who makes it perfect. He did not give up when he had to suffer shame and die on a cross. He knew of the joy that would be his latter. Now he is sitting at the right-hand side of God. He will give us everything we need to make sure that we live in a life of obedience. He will give us the grace. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the mercy. He'll give us the vision, the dreams, so that he can work in us as we run this race. Because we want a race. And we want to make sure that we're on this race living an obedient life to God in his authority. So not only can he work within us, but he can work in the lives of others because we're carrying his authority. There's something different about you and I, and it's his authority. It's nothing else. It's because of his authority that we get to carry. The third thing that I would encourage us to do is to recognize the voice of God. That's so important. The disciples recognized the voice of Jesus. I'm always blown away. We have staff meetings, and Andre and Leanne will come, and they will just share what God's put in their heart for the church. They recognize God's voice, not only for the church, but for their family, for us as a staff. And I mean, I almost can't put into words hearing what God's put in their hearts, being faithful with it, and then seeing the fruit of it. You look at Melkbos, you look at Camps Bay. That was because God spoke to Andre and Leanne. You look at here and the future for our church and what's planned. It's because God spoke to Andre and Leanne. And as I was preparing, I understood why. Why does God speak to Andre and Leanne? Well, it's because he's put them in charge of this church. And obviously he's going to speak to them on a whole nother level. And his voice for this church is just going to be so much more clear, because he's entrusted them to lead us and to lead the church. But you know what? God's entrusted you to lead your life. So he's going to speak clearly about what he wants for you. And God's put you in charge of your family. So not only is he going to speak clearly for you, but he's going to speak clearly for your family. His voice is going to give you vision, and he's going to give you dreams for what's to come. Because he's put you in charge of that. But we got to make sure that we recognize the voice of God. We live in a world that talks a lot. There's a lot of different voices that are taking place. And we can speak all night about that spectrum, but we got to make sure that we understand the one true voice, the voice that has authority. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you're going to hear this deep Morgan Freeman voice coming down from heaven. You know what I mean? Like, if you've ever had that experience, God bless you, because I don't think I've ever had that. But he's a gentleman. And it's those quiet voices and those pictures that come from him that we got to make sure that we are putting ourselves in an environment where we can hear that and experience that. We got to recognize the voice of God for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, for our church, for our nation, for Table View, for Mark Boston, for Camps Bay. God's working, church. His authority is at play. He wants the best for you and he wants the best for your family. But what's stopping you from living in an authority that comes from Jesus? Hebrews 4 verses 14 to 16 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all these testings we do, yet he did not sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and he will find grace to help us when we need it most." We've got to recognize his voice. And in recognizing his voice, I would encourage us to pray a prayer for wisdom and discernment. I think as Christians, we need discernment more than ever before. Is this what God wants? It says in Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you which path to take." Can we be a church that prays to God for wisdom and discernment for ourselves and for our family and for everyday life and for our friends and for our colleagues and for our nation and for every part of our life? Can we be a church that just prays for God's discernment? Because the devil is going to do everything he can do to make sure that that discernment is distorted. But it's his voice that'll give us the discernment. It's his leading that'll give us the discernment. It's his authority that we call to live in. When we recognize his voice, we are living in the authority that he has given us, because no man can stop the plans that God has for us. But it's in his voice that we walk and step into those plans and visions and dreams that he's given us. So we've got to recognize the voice. We've got to be making sure we're praying every single day, getting into those moments of quiet and solitude. I said to Camps Bay this morning, what I started to do is after worship, I put on a instrumental, like the keys that are playing now, and I just sit and I try and listen. Sometimes the worship music, when people are singing, it could potentially drown out God's voice, but go into YouTube and find a track like this and just sit in his presence and ask him to speak to you. Ask him to give you fresh vision and dreams for you and for your family, so that we can live in the authority that he's given us. Lastly, we have to allow him in on everything. It was when they invited him onto the boat that we just see the miraculous take place. They got to their destination straight away. What happens, and we've spoken about it already, but when he isn't on our boat, when he isn't in our situations, it just becomes hard and it becomes a weight that is unbearable. And it won't make sense. And we're going to have the wrong perspective. And we're going to have the wrong ideas, because his authority is not where it needs to be. But I want to encourage you. And I don't know if we can maybe go into a song. Are we able to go into a song? Why don't you find a moment where there's a situation where you haven't given it to Jesus? I want to encourage you. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Allow him to take control. Allow his authority to be at work and not your own strength and your own understanding. And start to see him move like you've never seen before. Because his authority is at play. His authority is working. So can we stand? It says in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. With everyone's eyes closed as we're in this moment of worship, maybe you here tonight and you've lived a life where Jesus has never been in your boat. You've lived a life separate of Him. And you can identify yourself in the middle of that storm where it just seems like there's no hope, where it just seems like it's this journey that's not ending and it's put weight on you and it's causing you stress and it's causing you hurt and you feel lost in the storm. I want to encourage you that there's hope in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead wants to live inside of you. So with everyone's eyes closed, if you want to make a decision tonight to invite Jesus into your world, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, to invite Him onto your boat where He can take control and where His authority will start to work in and through your life. On the count of three, I want to ask you to put your hand up. If you want to make the best decision you're ever going to make to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, if we can put the house lights up, if that's okay. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, do you want to put your hand up? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand over there. Thank you for that hand over there. Thank you for that hand over there. Is there anyone else who wants to invite Jesus? If you could just keep your hands up. If you know that this is a decision you want to make to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand in the back. We see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heaven is being populated. We give you praise, Jesus. Is there anyone else? I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One last chance. Is there anyone else? You want to put your hand up? We're going to pray a prayer together. Awesome. Church, we're going to pray this prayer together. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for me. Today, I declare that I am a sinner and I've fallen short. I ask that you forgive me. But today, I declare that you are my Lord and Savior and that I live my life for you. I pray that you keep me, that you guide me, that you show me your ways as I live my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, church. Can we give Jesus some praise? Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord.
Come on, church. Can we just honor Matt? That was an absolutely amazing and practical sermon. Thank you, Matt. Listen, if you've made that decision, I encourage you not to leave it as a decision, but to literally take a step. And the best step that you can take is to actually go and tell somebody that you've given your heart to Jesus. But what we'd also like you to do is, if you could turn to my left, you'll see that there's an open door there. And if you want to know anything more about the faith and the foundations of that, in the decision that you've just taken, you can head over to there. And one of our prayer teams would love to connect with you and pray with you. If any of you need prayer, you can head over to our prayer team and our prayer team would love to pray for you. Guys, don't forget, this coming Friday is Easter Friday. It's Good Friday. We've got an action-packed weekend. It's the best weekend to invite somebody to church. So I encourage you to do that. For all of our new people, your coffees are ready and we'd love to connect with you at the Next Steps Lounge. And Brad will be at the back and he'd love to connect with anyone that has any questions or information needed for the Zambia missions. God bless. One more time. Let's give Jesus some praise.